Genesis 48. And in a moment I want to start reading at verse 12, but I have a confession to make. Do you realize that this morning I demoted an angel? Yes. There are 7 angels that stand in the presence of God, and Gabriel is one of them. There is 1 archangel who is Michael, and I said that Michael was Gabriel. And so, you'll understand, if you ever knew, that Gabriel is the one who came and spoke to Mary, and Gabriel is the one who came and spoke to Zechariah. The one who stands in the presence of God is Gabriel. Michael is the archangel. And so I wanted to promote Michael back to his place again. Genesis 48, verse 12. Jacob is 147 years old, and he's at the point of death. Before he dies, he wants to bless his son and 2 of the sons of Joseph. I introduced the subject last week. We're going to look a little more into the blessing and into the dying request of Jacob. Look at verse 12. And Joseph brought them, that is, Manasseh and Ephraim, out from beside his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God who hath shepherded me all my life long unto this day, the angel who hath redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put my right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Howbeit, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee will Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God will be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee 1 portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Now, we're not going to read this blessing on the son in chapter 49, but look at verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is that their fathers spake unto them and blessed them, every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is therein, which was purchased from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of charging his son, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. Let us speak to God again in prayer.
Our Father, we are thankful for
the life,
the saint.
Thy word contains more than words.
It is filled with people of like passion and of flesh and blood, even though they were redeemed.
Men of flesh and blood.
We are thankful that thou hast shown us the experiences that they had. So often, our Father, we want to behave in a way that is beyond capacity of anything.
The high tears, whereas thy son wept, and Joseph wept.
Our Father, we pray that the things that are set forth as a pattern in the scriptures, we shall see that they are unchanged, that we have sorrow, that we have joy, and that being redeemed, we are not so heavenly minded that the things of earth catch us not. And so teach us from these portions that we've read tonight, prepare the hearts of these, that they, when they die, may have a good exodus, as did Jacob. Teach us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
What is so remarkable about this man Jacob upon his deathbed is the fact that the Bible says that his eyes were dim, and Manasseh and Ephraim are before him, and he says to his son Joseph, who are these? And he said, Manasseh and Ephraim. And he says, I'm going to bless these boys. And Joseph had carefully made it so that the younger was in his right arm and the older was in his left arm. Because when I face you, your left hand is at my right hand, and your right hand is at my left hand. And so Joseph had thought this thing through. And so he brings his sons up so that his old father Jacob will put forth his right hand upon the son that is in his left hand. Right? When he brings the boys up, the old man does this. And before he can do anything about it, the old man starts pronouncing the blessing on these sons. But you must remember this about people that are decrepit and aged and hard of hearing and hard of seeing. Many times they have a comprehension of the heart that you young people don't have. Because there were things that old blind Jacob knew in his heart that his son Joseph was unaware of. Something that had been carried on, a principle that had been practiced in the descendants of Abraham from the beginning. Abraham had two sons. He had Ishmael, his firstborn, and he had Isaac, the son born of Sarah, his wife. But his firstborn, Ishmael, did not receive the preeminent blessing, but it was Isaac. And Isaac had two sons. He had Esau and Jacob. Esau was the firstborn, but it was not Esau, the firstborn, that received the prominent blessing. But it was Jacob. And now Joseph has two sons, Manasseh the firstborn and Ephraim the younger. But it is not Manasseh the firstborn that is to receive the preeminent blessing, but it is Ephraim the secondborn, the younger. And this principle is instilled in the heart of Jacob because just as the holy men of God say that they were moved by the Holy Spirit, so in this patriarchal family, when the fathers pronounced the blessing was as if the oracles of God were being spoken. Because when Isaac blessed his son Jacob, whom he thought had been his son Esau, and Esau came and told his father about it, he said, I have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed, because he knew that the blessing that he had pronounced could not be reversed. And so this was a principle that God instilled in them. Not that which is cursed. And so not Adam, that which is of earth, but that which is Christ, the Lord, from heaven. And this is a principle that is carried through. And some expect everything to go along in a cut and dry fashion. But God says, I am reversing it in Abraham's sons and Isaac's sons and also in Jacob's sons. And so, the firstborn
Manasseh does not receive the preeminent blessing, but Ephraim the younger does as well. And God has many things that he decides to do to confound the wise. We think that we have things figured out, but God reverses these things. The same principle shall take place with the sons of Jesse. Jesse brings his firstborn, and even Samuel says, "Ah, the Lord's anointed is standing before me." And the firstborn and all the other sons are set aside, and finally, here comes the youngest, David. And God says, "This is the man that is after my heart." And so, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And who would ever have thought, looking upon Jacob, that God was doing the right thing in blessing Jacob instead of Esau? But it turns out that God knew what he was doing. Because you think that Jacob is a bad man at times, it says concerning Esau, a profane person as Esau, who for one metal package sold his birthright. And so God knows what is in the heart of man. And when God makes a decision and exalts one and demotes another, then leave it in the hands of God. God knows what he's doing. And it works out. For instance, suppose this old blind man has not had these sons brought before him in the order that they had, and it put his hand forth. But God knows how to direct his hands wittingly, even though his eyes are in. So remember, there are the eyes that God has given you with which to see the things of earth, and there are the eyes of the heart with which God gives man the ability to see spiritual things. I've been telling you on Wednesday, for we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And these are the things that are of interest to God. All right. I have told you a little bit about this old man. He's 147 years old, and what he is doing here is spoken of as commendable in the book of Hebrews. It says, by faith, this old man, 147 years old, blesses his descendant when he is a dying. Now, you bless a person as he blesses Manasseh and Ephraim, and of course it would have been impossible to give you the blessings of the sons in Genesis 49, but he blesses these sons and he tells them what is going to happen in the future. And when you are talking about the future, you must be speaking in the area of faith, because you boast not yourself tomorrow. You know not what a day may bring forth. But we who believe the word of God know what a day may bring forth. Faith enables me to look back and see. By faith we understand that the world were created by the word of God. That's the only way that I know it. Do you know it any other way? And so faith enables us to look into the past and see how this universe came to existence. And faith enables us to look into the future and see things about which we have no knowledge of ourselves, and to make pronouncements concerning them. And so Jacob is spoken of as by faith pronouncing these blessings. How remarkable that a man who is dependent upon his son for survival, that he knows not where the next meal is coming from, when the 7 years of famine are upon the land of Canaan as well as upon the land of Egypt, now he is looking into the future and making pronouncements, and these pronouncements are made by faith. And it is the same when some speak about tomorrow. Well, whether I come tomorrow, that is uncertain. But the coming of the Lord Jesus on some tomorrow, that is certain. And another thing that's certain, if man does not fulfill his earthly duties because he is taken away, it says that the absence in the body is to be at home with the Lord. And so Jacob speaks by faith, and those who preach the word of God concerning the future, they speak by faith as well. And Jacob is commended because by faith he speaks about things to come. And all of these promises that God made to him, he speaks as if they were going to be fulfilled, because faith enables a man to do that. These two sons that he blesses, first of all, are blessed with this blessing. Look at verse 15 now, in chapter 48. I want to look at it a little more closely tonight. And he blessed Joseph, notice,
when it says he blesses Joseph, it means he's blessing Joseph in the person of his sons Manasseh and Ephraim. It says, the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God who hath shepherded me all my life long unto this day, and the angel who hath redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Notice that so often in the Bible, you find a Trinity. Even though God is not telling us that there is a Trinity in passages like these, we cannot say the Trinity is here. Still, in such passages as these, they lend themselves to the New Testament revelation, the full revelation of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, just as in Isaiah 6, when these angelic beings are crying, holy, holy, holy. We understand, but it's not a necessity that Jacob understood or that Isaiah understood what was going on, why deity was addressed in this way. But you'll find portions like this in the Old Testament, and they contain phraseology and expressions in a way that we in the New Testament understand perfectly. This might confuse someone in the Old Testament, or it might not make any impression upon him. Why would this trilogy be here? Why would he express the threefold name of God in this way rather than say, God bless? Well, perhaps it's because there is a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit. However that might be, understand that he gives it something of a rhythmical, poetical setting, and he speaks this way. The God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk. This is so lovely, because there are gods many, and there are lords many. But what Jacob is doing is pronouncing a blessing of this specific God. The God of whom he speaks is the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, the God before whom they walk. And when you read concerning the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you read that to every one of them, God appeared, and this word began in our King James and in our versions that I read from tonight. When Abraham was 99 years old, it said, God Almighty said unto him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And now, Jacob is making reference to such passages as those. That God Almighty, as he's spoken of in Genesis chapter 17, is looking upon his people. And he says to them, you have a responsibility. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And he thinks of his father Abraham, who walked before Jehovah, God Almighty. And he thinks of Isaac, who walked before God Almighty, Jehovah. And now, he says, he is the God of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and he is my God as well. He wants his descendants to be familiar with this specific God. And I wonder if you who are Christians understand the God who is our God. In the Old Testament, it was the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And in the New Testament, we speak in no uncertain terms, but this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so a progression has been made. The Father of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, and now the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this same God from Old Testament times has come into New Testament times, but now he is not the God and Father of earthly creatures alone, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but he is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and he is our God. And this is what Jacob wants his descendants to understand, and that is what the fathers here want these young people to understand, that it is not that we are simply preaching to you religion. We want you to be religious. But there is a particular God to the exclusion of all other gods. The God whose name is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in whose name we baptize, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this God is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is the God that is pinpointed, not just filling the world with religion and Believe in your own God. Pray to your own God. This is not what is intended by the Fathers here. But there is a continuity, and I want to bring scriptures to your attention to speak of that. The God that spoke to Abraham, that spoke to Isaac, that spoke to Jacob, was the same God. And this is the one whom Jacob invokes to bless his descendants. And this is how it is spoken of in the book of Micah, in the book of Exodus, in the Psalms. And it's so beautiful. When Israel, in the book of Exodus, is delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, it says, He is the God of my salvation, and He has become my song. He is my Father's God. He is my God. You see the continuity. Understand? Speaking with women in the New Testament. When Timothy is addressed by Paul, he says, The faith that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. And that is what the New Testament desires, the same thing that the Old Testament desires, a continuity of a son following the same God that his father followed, because Abraham was discovered by the true God. He was an idolater beyond the river, but God revealed himself to him and told him to leave his land and his kindred and his father's house and to follow him. And Abraham came out, and so did his son Isaac, and so did his son Jacob, and that is what we want. If we have children that are religious and moral, that is not what we want, but we want them committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Savior who has redeemed us. And his father who loved the world and gave his son to be the savior of the world. And in the book of Exodus it says, He is my God and my father's God. Now, I want to tell you this, and it's so sad. I remember when I came back from California, having discovered God in a personal way, the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way that I did not know when I left, I was witnessing to people, and I recall in the neighborhood there had been an old man. He was old when I was a child, and he walked about with a cane. And from the testimony concerning him, he was a believer in the same God that I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Savior that I believed in. And I was talking to one of his sons, an educated son. And when I told him about the Lord Jesus Christ so many years ago, but I still can recall words that he told me. He said, Milton, he said, you must understand that I do not believe in God the way my father did, the same God that my father believed in. What was he saying? He was saying that this God and this Savior who had redeemed his father by his precious blood, he had advanced beyond that. And his father's God was not his God. He was apologizing for his father's God, perhaps trying to dissociate himself from one who spoke of a Bible that was inspired, a God that performed miracles and a Savior who had to shed his precious blood to redeem sinners. He was dissociating himself from this God and his father's God, but instead of causing him to be elevated and looked upon as a superior, educated man. I understood that he was one whose sensitive heart had been darkened, and he had not made modern progress, but he had retrogressed, and now he had no God that could save his soul. And this is what Jacob is praying about. He speaks about the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and my God, the God before whom my fathers walked. And I have nothing better to pass on to you than the same God that Jacob speaks God, who sent his son into the world, and I have no other Savior to present to you than the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope that when the Savior comes, the young people from Pembroke shall not advance and progress so far that we do not have Jesus of Nazareth anymore. We have a superior Savior. Why, God says this in Isaiah 45, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And God has an only begotten Son. There is only one God who is Savior, and there is only one Son who is Savior. And unless this God is your God and your children's God, you have no true God. You see, the Thessalonians turn to God from idols to a living and true God, and they are waiting for a son from heaven. And this is what Jacob is praying. He is speaking about the God before Abraham and Isaac, and he himself had walked. He is telling them, this is the God that I want to bless you. And says, the God who did feed me. But the word feed, and you will appreciate this, you don't realize it. But when you read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The word shepherd is the word, the God who did feed me. All my life long, unto this day, it's the word, the Lord is my shepherd. The word that you read is a strange translation in the Old Testament. You read the word pastor in the New Testament in Ephesians 4, but it's the simple word, shepherd. And in Ezekiel, you read the word in the Old Testament, pastor, but it's the simple word, shepherd. And so here again, in the Psalms and in Ezekiel, it is the word, shepherd, that is translated, who did feed me. And when the Lord Jesus is speaking to Peter, he says, do you love me? He says, yes. He says, feed my lamb, shepherd my sheep. And so there is the feeding, but at the same time, Psalm 23 is the God that Jacob is talking about, the God that did shepherd me all my life long unto this day. Think of the permanence of that. There was no reason for Jacob ever to leave this shepherd, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And this shepherd of David is the shepherd of Jacob. And he says, I want him to be the shepherd of Manasseh and Ephraim, my grandson. And this is the God that I want you to serve. And this is the God who, as a shepherd, cares for you, leads you, feeds you. This is the God that I want to be yours forever. Because this is a reference in the book of Micah. Now listen to it. It says, for the peoples walk every one in the name of his God. But we will walk in the name of Jehovah, our God, forever and ever. Here is a union and a committal to this God, forever and ever. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Inseparableness, it makes no difference what new gods the world brings forth. Micah says, we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God. And that's the word Yahweh, the Eternal One. Yes, he's God Almighty. He is Jehovah. He is the Eternal One. He reveals himself more and more in his name, throughout the lives of the patriarchs. And Micah says, we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. And what Israel is afraid of is this blinded Israel, Orthodox Israel, that if they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, they are departing from the God of their fathers, but they do not realize that when they embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, they are embracing the God of their fathers. This one who was worshipped in heaven in Isaiah chapter 6, John tells us that. We were not known, but in Isaiah 6, Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne, and he hears these angelic beings saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. This is Jehovah that is being worshipped in Isaiah 6. And John tells us in chapter 12, Isaiah saw his glory, Christ's glory, and spoke of him. And when a Jew has the veil removed from his heart, he understands that he is still walking in the name of the Lord his God forever and ever. And in Jeremiah 23, it says, Jehovah sits ken you, the Lord, our righteousness. Why, the Savior that